Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. Are you fighting a battle? Do you believe that when the battle's over, you're going to win a crown? I trust you do. For message of the morning, on Thursday we had a special service. Something was the first time I was ever involved in one of them. That was what is taken from James chapter 5. If any among you afflicted, let him pray. If any merry, let him sing songs. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We followed that command. No, I'm not going to preach a message on that this morning. But as we walked into that hospital, I can't help but think about it. The wisdom that is there, that God has given to man. The wisdom to understand how life is and to help individuals. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Wisdom. Wisdom. I'm in my personal devotions. I'm reading through some Proverbs. And this wisdom, this thought of wisdom has been going through my mind. And as you read through Proverbs, you can't get far away from it. Solomon, the wisest man, and he writes about wisdom. That wisdom in that hospital, though. Or that wisdom in Ithaca College, Cornell University, is nothing compared to the wisdom that Proverbs is talking about. Their knowledge is so insignificant. I'm going to turn for an opening passage. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to take these first 9 chapters of Proverbs and we're just going to open it up and we're going to try to glean some wisdom from this passage. But I'd like to start out. A basis for wisdom that the men of this world are not building on is what's in these 2 verses I want to read. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This wisdom we're talking about this morning must be started out with a fear of God, who He is. That wisdom needs to have driven you to the place where you're ready to give your heart to Him. So this wisdom we're talking about this morning is nothing apart from God. We're looking at the wisdom of God and how we need to avail ourselves to that. Another passage I'd like to turn to before we come back and go through Proverbs. Maybe I would just go to Proverbs chapter 9 again. We're just right close to that. Before we turn to this next passage, Proverbs chapter 9, we start out with this. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her 7 pillars. Now turn with me to James chapter 3. We find the writer of James. We could turn there and he writes much about wisdom that we need today. But I'd like you to hold that thought in your mind that what we read in Proverbs chapter 9 about the 7 pillars. And I don't know if this is what James had in his mind when he was writing this in James chapter 3. Let's just read. Take time. Verse 17 is the one I want to pull that out of. But let's start reading at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Did you catch the seven pillars? I pondered about taking that and looking at these seven pillars for a message this morning, but I didn't do that. I think you can read it. And you can glean truths from it. Take those seven pillars and apply them as you think of wisdom and the need for it today. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is a lifetime that of striving to obtain to that wisdom. We fail so many times. But let us strive for it. Too oftentimes we fall back to what's in verse 13, on up to that verse, and we get the wisdom of this world mixed in with it. And then there starts to be bitter envying, and there starts to be strife amongst us, and we forget that we ought to be living in the wisdom of God and letting God's wisdom affect our lives. All right, back to Proverbs. I kind of like to take through the first nine chapters and look at some wisdom that we can glean from Proverbs. I struggled as I prepared for this to know what to read and what not to read. There is so much reading in here in Proverbs that would be good for us just to read it this morning. But we're not going to take the time for all of that. But Proverb writer here starts out, the Proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Verse 6, to understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise in their dark sayings. Solomon is writing here to us today, to people that were going to be following him, people that were going to be in need of wisdom. And he's writing here wise thoughts, things that will help you to go through life, things that's going to come to you later on in life. And it comes to us today, I believe. The first point I have is taken from Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 8 through verse 19, we're not going to read that whole passage there, but we hear he talks about, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk now in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. The wisdom I'd like to pull out of here. There is going to be a time when sinners are going to be an enticement to you. The world has enchantments. The world has so much pull to us. We like to know things. But let's remember, the wisdom of this world is nothing compared to God's wisdom. God has only given it to man, the wisdom that they have. It's enticement to sinners. Verse 10, Verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Wisdom tells us that this enticement to us, this pull that the world has, there's going to have to be a direction against it. There's going to have to be a fight against it. We're going to have to resist it. What is some of this temptations we've got to resist? Well, there's a lot of them, but I just want to look at what's listed here in this passage. That is the temptation of getting great gain. Whatever means we can get it. You know, the temptation's there that we can cheat one way or another and somehow make ourselves more money to pad the back pocket. God forbid it happens among us. But the proverb writer here is saying, don't go after that. Don't try to resist that temptation. Resist the temptation of money. And the snare it can be to you. Resist it. Remember, wealth gotten by wrong means will vanish away. So are the ways, verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Verse 17 says about how the net is spread in vain in the sight of any bird. Your wisdom or your gains that you can get can go away just that quick. Fly away. The second point. Taken from verse 20 through verse 33 of this passage of chapter 1. Wisdom gives out a plea here. Wisdom is giving out a plea. Verse 20, it says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concord, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof." Wisdom plea is for you to turn from the world and the wickedness. Open yourself up to correction. It's saying there in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Open yourself up to it. The correction of wisdom. Verse 33, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." The question is, are you going to be open to reproof? Are you going to be open to wisdom's plea for you to turn? Because if you hearken unto it, there's a promise there. "Unto me so dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." If you don't open yourself up to this reproof, this correction, if you don't walk with that openness in your life, and you start turning your back to this wisdom and its plea for taking over your life, my mind goes to that song, "Sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. Slowly but surely taking control." That's so true. So true. One step. You can't dabble in it. In the world, in the foolishness of the world, and expect not to get sucked in slowly but surely. Wisdom says we're open to correction when wisdom drops a stop in our life. We're willing to turn and go right. Let us be those that are open to that. The third one. We see wisdom. The value of wisdom. The search for wisdom in chapter 2. Wisdom is promising things to those that are godly. There's a search there. I'm going to read the first verse, 4 verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It goes on to say about it. There's a search there. A trust in our lives. We need to have that search. Wisdom has so much value. The value of wisdom in our lives. God's wisdom. To help us through. You think about the children of Israel. If they wouldn't have walked across Jordan, if they wouldn't have wandered around Jericho without God, we talked about it in Sunday school, they would be nothing. They couldn't have conquered it. Very much believe that. They couldn't have conquered it. It was a strong city. Today, you can't conquer without God's wisdom in your life. Do you realize the value of it? Think with me. The first 4 verses that we read. Think with me of the words of receiving. If thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. Put it in deep in your life. Incline your ears to wisdom. Apply it to your heart. Cry after knowledge. Seek us her as silver. Search for her as for his hid treasures. There's so many words in there. That's a search for it. Because you want it, you realize the value of it. So the question comes to us. What for energy am I putting into it? The wisdom of God. How much energy am I putting into it? Is there something in my life that will take first place before being worried about the wisdom of God? Before being worried about the wisdom of God. The smartphones that we have. The technology that we have. I find myself many times Googling this. Searching for that. Because pretty soon you get the idea that Google has all the answers. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Wisdom is with the righteous. Sound wisdom is with the righteous. Don't let that device, don't let that internet take first place in your life. God deserves that. Search for wisdom. Remember, sound wisdom can only come from God. Nothing of this world can bring that. Let's remember that. In our search for wisdom, let's remember the value of it and what we're searching for. Number 4. I'm going to take chapter 3 and chapter 4 in this point, there's a lot of material in there. There's a lot of wisdom in there. This morning, in most of these, we are skimming the surface. But I challenge you, young people and older people, take Proverbs. Study it. Even beyond these passages of what I'm bringing here of wisdom, and take it and study a passage and try to apply it to your life. It'll help you to know which way to go. Number four, from chapter 3 and chapter 4, wisdom calls you to lead a disciplined life. Wisdom, it calls you to lead a disciplined life. My son, it starts out with in verse chapter 3. My son. Chapter 4 starts out, hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. A disciplined life starts at a young age. Starts early in a child's life. You as parents here, you need to start disciplining your children at an early age. Because you see, this my son can be an encouragement to him. Son, listen here. Go this way. Do this. Or can you get the words of when you don't discipline, when you don't help them to have a disciplined life at a young age, later on in life, it's with tears you say, my son. Parents, fathers, we need to be teachers of our sons and our children. A disciplined life. I think every time I hear the word a disciplined life, and as I was putting this down here on paper, my mind goes back to, I'm trying to remember what grade it was. Must have been 8th grade. Had a teacher. One that we enjoyed. Us boys, maybe we're a little bit like boys can be in school. Maybe a little worse sometimes. Looking back, there's a lot of things we'd like to shake our heads about and wonder why we did it. But as I think of a disciplined life, this teacher kept us in for recess one day. He had a heart-to-heart talk with us as boys. He made this statement, and it stuck with me, and I want you to think about it. Either you're going to discipline yourself, or someone else is going to discipline you. Those words have stuck with me through life. You know, I see some of my classmates, some that were sitting there, have made some pretty, can I say, unwise choices. Some of those that heard those words. Now, none of them has ended up in jail yet. And I trust it doesn't ever happen there. But the teacher went on to say that he might have to discipline us in school, but the fact is, later on in life, someone is going to have to take us in hand and help us through. Brothers and sisters, it's the same today. Fathers, children need to hear the instructions of their fathers. Fathers, you need to demand that from your children. Help them to create a disciplined life. Because why? Later on in life, who's going to do it? Somewhere they're going to have to respond to authority in their life, or they're going to be like the rest of the world. Because most of all, we need to be in response to God's authority and be a disciplined life under Him. A proper life, a proper disciplined life leads to a proper respect for God. Verse 7. As we think about this, disciplined life. Excuse me. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. A disciplined life says that we're not all about self. Don't think about you're wiser than who you are. Wisdom, remember, comes from God. And you realize, a truly disciplined life, realize that the wisdom comes from God. And that honor and praise should go back to Him. We could turn to Proverbs 13. Those that don't have a disciplined life, we see a sad commentary here. Proverbs 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Let us be those that have wisdom, leading and disciplining our lives. The wisdom of God's word needs to be applied to our lives. The fifth one. Chapter 5. Starts out with, again, My son, attend unto my wisdom. Wisdom calls for moral purity, is the point I have for this one. Wisdom calls for moral purity. You read through chapter 5. There's this woman appealing to the man's fleshly desires. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Brothers and sisters, what happens in your thought life? If there's impurity in your thought life, you can only expect that God's going to judge you for it. No, it's not me saying it, but it's going to take you down. Away from God. Take you to places you never wanted to go. God. God has created the drive in each individual. It is for you to take control of it and to use it as God would have it to have you to. There is, you know, the technology, the ease of this world, the printing, whatever you put there, it's so much easier, I believe, to get it at your fingertips. And it's only going to be your commitment and an openness to the brotherhood. It's going to help you through the moral purity that you need. Wisdom calls for moral purity. The sixth one. Chapter 6. And maybe this can tie back in a little bit. But chapter 6 starts out again, my son. You'll see that through Proverbs a lot. But there's going to be pitfalls. There's going to be things in our lives that maybe we went on man's wisdom too much. Maybe we started out on our own and we fall. We stumble and fall. But wisdom here gives counsels on the pitfalls that are in life. You know, there's snares. There's things that we do. Unwise commitments. We can see in verse 1 to 5. You know, commitments, and maybe we could put the unequal yoke in there. Being tied together can be a pitfall in our life. A place where we stumble and fall. Verses 6 to 11, we see slothfulness. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her way and be wise. You know, she's working. You know, today we live in a world of ease. You see people on the street corners holding up a sign waiting for a handout. Or the government program. Because we don't need to work. Let it not be named among us. Wisdom calls for you to work. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. She works. For one thing, it'll fill your time up and you won't have as much time to think and to ponder about things that you shouldn't be. Verse 12 through 19. Give seven types. Deceitful actions that are depicted of a sluggard. Think about it. I believe this is all part of what a sluggard, those that don't do anything, can fall into. A naughty person. A wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Let's take account of those pitfalls that come along. Let's stay free of them. Walk away from them. If we fall into them, there is a way back, and that is forgiveness. Let us open ourselves up to that if we find ourselves avail in any of these pitfalls. Verse 20, though. After he says all this, my son,
my son. Keep your father's commandments.
He's again concerned about his son. And he's concerned at the end that this pitfall of impurity that can come, the pitfall of the sexual desire between man and woman. Wisdom can help you through that. God's wisdom can help you through avoiding that pitfall. Let us avail ourselves to that. Number 7. Chapter 7. We see wisdom. People displaying the despising. I have down here, wisdom's despisers portrayed. You know, you can despise wisdom because you want to do your own way. You want to do your own thing. Verse 6 and 7. Oops, I jumped on down to my next point. Sorry. Bear with me. I think I forgot to print down what I had in mind for that point. I have down, the only thing I have down on that is, you must be strong in wisdom or you will follow the world and its allurements. And if you despise the wisdom, you're going to find yourself following the world and its allurements. Let's go on to the 8th one. We see wisdom's call, chapter 8. Wisdom's calling, it's calling in chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She's there calling. To you as young people, to you as parents, wants you to listen to her. Understanding put forth her voice. She standeth on the top of high places. She crieth in the gate. She's all around you crying for you to take hold of wisdom. Calling for you. Waiting for anyone that would listen to her. Verse 6 and 7. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the openings of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wisdom is so full of truth. Think back to last Sunday, Brother Luke, as he talked of truth. Wisdom is calling for you to listen to truth. In your mind, you can tell yourself false things. In your mind, you can feed on the false. Tell it truth. Tell it truth. Wisdom's call is always there, calling for you to take a hold and to be open to the truth. What is the truth about wisdom? Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me are... And you could read more of this, I'm just picking out some verses. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Oh, we just said in the one point before about a temptation and this ill-gotten means. True riches come when God gives them to you. And you know how to handle them. You work for it. You've given your time. And you enjoy what you have because it's wisdom. Wisdom, to have wisdom is more honorable than any riches, but... Wisdom's fruit is better than gold It says there, do you have wisdom in your life? It's calling you, wanting to come in. And going to the last point. We read the first verse there of chapter 9. But I'd like to think of this as wisdom putting on a banquet. And it's inviting people in. He's calling you to come to that banquet and partake. You know, I can't help but think about when I think of this point, my mind immediately went to the virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins. The banquet that was there. God today is calling you to that banquet. Are you going to be prepared? He says, come to wisdom's banquet. It has everything you need to go through life. It has everything you need to come through victorious. It'll dwell in you and it'll be useful to you later. Let's read a little bit of chapter 9 here. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. We see wisdom's banquet there, telling you to take of it. Move away from foolishness and the foolishness of the world. But we stopped reading at verse 13. We read on. Now I want you to think. There's another banquet that we have here that we can partake of. Let's read. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house in a seat in the high place of the city to call passengers who go right in on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. The world has a banquet as well. Which looks most appealing to you? Think about the end of where you're going. Think about the end of where you feast at. Wisdom wants the best for you as you go through life. It wants to help you in every way possible. What does the world look about you? It don't take long to catch what it's saying here. Myself. The world looks for itself. The wisdom of the world here is depicted as a foolish woman. You know, she wants it all for herself. She's doing it because it's about self. Wisdom in this passage invites men as a teacher, wants to teach you. Foolish woman invites men as a lover. wishing to use them for her own personal pleasure. So we see in this passage, those who heed wisdom's plea, their wisdom's plea in their life. The end of life, they have life. But those who accept the invitation of the foolish woman to partake of her water and her bread that she has in this life are led to death. Death. Spiritually and eternal. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, just some closing thoughts yet. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Do you feel like you lack wisdom? Are you steering away from the foolishness of the world? Where are you? Robert Ryder says that the world has allurements. There is also wisdom that is calling. Which are you choosing? Brothers and sisters, if any of you lack wisdom, if you see you've made wrong choices, if you see that you're following the world, go to God. Go to the source of healing. Go to the God, the one that gives wisdom. Go to the right source, and you can be healed and serve Him faithfully. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.